You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How is everyone this wonderful Thursday? We have Mike Sando back. Last Thursday was Thanksgiving. Mike, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and football and whatnot.
I did. Watched a lot of football. I had a prime rib that I did in the old Weber, you know, a little indirect heat. It was real good.
Oh, do you have skills?
Well, I mean, I'm determined. I like to eat, you know.
And I do. You like to eat.
Yeah, you like to eat. Today, I don't know, but the race between you and me at the bottom of the popcorn bowl, I don't know who wins, you know. But
for those that aren't familiar,
we had a lot of fun trying.
Mike's a couple inches taller than me, much leaner than me, but very vigorous at the table. I will say there was a couple ESPN events and we were fighting over the last wing or whatever.
Yeah. We're looking at it was always great being with you, Matt, because I didn't feel guilty. You know, when you're the only guy who's really there for the food, you sort of are looking around like, all right, is this a bad move?
Right.
I forget where you and I really were somewhere where we're like, you know what? No one's going to think I'm the only guy because you're here, you know? So we both just crushed whatever it was. I do remember that.
Right.
So.
Just kind of hovered around the smorgasbord.
Yeah. That's right.
Good stuff. This has been somewhat of a strange week on Locked On NFL. We're going to have six shows this week, but this is pretty much the highlight as always. I'm excited to talk to you again. And a new article just went up that you wrote that is really fun. And really, we could talk the whole show and much more about it. But you have a best players under 25 article that just went up on ESPN.com. That's something that comes up every year pretty much. It's a great conversation. But obviously it changes every year. Guys get eliminated as they age.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, what I found in doing this is there's probably 40 guys you could make a great case for being in there, you know. And the way the league's heading, there's just fewer really good older players than just looking at quarterbacks. So maybe that's good for the league. You know, there's a lot of good young players. I've had feedback from some of our NFL reporters, other people, hey, did you consider this guy, that guy? And, you know, you kind of do, but in finding the 25 spots, I mean, I think they're all pretty good players.
Yeah, I got to say, I was hoping when I looked over this, I was hoping to be like, you got this guy way too high, or how do you have him on there? But it's pretty darn thorough. I mean, like you said, I'm sure there's 15 more names that draw serious consideration, maybe some young linemen that aren't as flashy, a lot of skill position guys on here, but it's deserving. I mean, the quarterback running back, I think, is the story.
Yeah, and, you know, I think in combination with the play caller, you know, when you look at just what's happened to the Rams, you know, they've improved their personnel, but you can see that McVay is getting the most out of these guys. So the other theme is, you know, we talk about the running back being devalued, but they're really the versatile back who lines up everywhere and is a mismatch is really valuable, you know, and some of our top guys on this list. I mean, you can't do this list without having Christian McCaffrey, without having Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, who, right, you know, is more of a, probably more of a traditional back than some of these other guys, but still a really good, you know, all around player. So there's still room for backs. You just got to be able to play on all the downs.
Yeah. And I got to say, I mean, traditionally I've been, we'll get a back in the third round, fill in the blanks. You know, they don't last long enough. I don't want to invest in these guys. But with all the Le'Veon Bell nonsense, craziness around here, I really took a step back. And I'm not saying I'm agreeing with Bell, but to do the things that he and David Johnson did a couple years ago, and now the Kamaras and McCaffreys do, just looking at my Steelers, James Conner's on your list and a good player, but they're much more difficult to prepare for with Bell.
Yeah, there's a dynamic element to him. And it's interesting with I don't know if it's related at all, but, you know, Ben's averaging like a 42 passes a game or something. It's a career high.
Right.
So even though they've got this, you know, really young running back that they're excited about, there are different types of backs. And it's funny, I was talking to a pro personnel director yesterday, and he said, absolutely, you know, Mark Ingram would be starting in the old days. You know what I mean?
Easily. You're thrilled with him.
I mean, it's not like he's not part of their offense and a big part of it. He's doing well, but he would be the main guy that you would be talking about, and the other guy would be more complimentary, you know. And yeah. Going back to when I first started covering the league 20 years ago, I covered Seattle, and I'm thinking, oh, would Seattle in today's game make the transition from Ricky Waters to Sean Alexander, or would you just go with Ricky, you know, who could do it all and catch the ball and the blocker, passing downs, the whole thing? You know, the value of that back in today's sort of pass-oriented league where you're, you know, they're definitely throwing the ball more on first down and looking for those mismatches. I think it's all about what mismatches can your coordinator or play caller get. Some of these types of backs, you know, certainly Kamara is more valuable than an Ingram.
No, for sure. I just want to take it back to the Steelers real quick, just because I want to throw this out there, because it's really been something I've been paying attention to the last 2 weeks. But it comes back to Antonio Brown, that he always demands a lot of attention. Of course, he's a phenomenal player. He's an all-time great. But with Bell out lately, I have seen coverages vastly rolled his way more dramatically, because they're not afraid of the back splitting out and beating a linebacker repeatedly. You know, I mean, he still may win sometimes in the passing game, but guys like McCaffrey and Kamara, like you mentioned, and Gurley, they do the same thing for the other 10 guys on the field.
Yeah, they do. I think it's a critical element. You know, the football is complicated, but you know, the simple sort of philosophy is you want to pass when they think you're going to run, and you want to run when they think you're going to pass. I mean, right?
Sure.
We're trying to sort of be multidimensional here, and these backs really help you do that even better, because they can be such a, you know, the minute they're going to pass, the Rams are going to pass on first down, or the Steelers are with Le'Veon Bell, well, guess what? It's suddenly now it's a dump off to the back, and he's getting 60 yards. So it totally affects the defense can only really cover so many elite threats, right?
Right, exactly.
And, yeah, I think traditionally the running back wasn't seen as one of those threats to the same degree in the passing game. And when you have one of those guys, it does make it harder to, you know, focus as much on an Antonio Brown or other guys in these passing games.
Mm-hmm. And Juju's on this list, too. He's really come on
huge. Juju has a lot of big plays. I mean, you know the Steelers way better than me, but this is from my piece. He has 5 career plays from scrimmage that gained at least 50 yards since the start of 17. That's the same as AB.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, if you read the scouting reports on him, it's that he's not a great speed guy, right?
It's hilarious, Mike, because he has 5 65-yarders or more since entering the league, which is number 1 in the league. It's ahead of Tyreek.
You're even ahead of me on that.
Right.
That's awesome, yeah.
Because it just happened last week with the real long one.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm sitting up there at training camp and I'm doing shows for 3 hours a day. And I'm like, boy, Juju's a really good player. He's a find. He's going to be a long-term answer. But Steeler fans, relax a little bit. He's not going to bust 90-yarders all the time. He's going to be more of a possession guy. He's closer to Hines Ward than he is Tyreek Hill. But he's so young. Maybe he's getting faster. The dude just turned 22. He's younger than guys that are going to be coming out next year.
Yeah, like they said about Jerry Rice, he's just faster than the guy chasing him, you know?
Right, right.
that's the main thing. And there's, you know, there's different types of speed. There's, you know, certifiable track speed. And there's football speed. And he's been fast enough. So, you know, everybody liked him coming out and just said, yeah, but on the speed. So, but I don't know how many, you know, we should look it up. How many, I mean, just do it in Steelers history. Hines Ward was, he's up for the Hall of Fame this year. You know, as tough, rugged of a receiver as you can get. How many long plays like that did he have? And I don't know the answer. You know, I want to look it up.
Sure, to see it.
Yeah, you can't see him having these types of plays, right? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to have that many, and especially in today's game where, think of it, you've got an extra DB on the field almost all the time, an extra fast guy. You know,
right, somebody faster than you. Right.
There's not some guy with a neck roll matched up in coverage, is what I'm saying.
Right. Good point.
You know, you used to watch football, you see Matt Millen out there, you know, he's 260 pounds playing linebacker. That's not what we're getting. You know, we're not getting Carl Mecklenburg matched up against James Jett in the 90s as our younger audience starts going on Pro Football Reference and wondering, who are those guys? But that used to happen in football.
It did. I want to get back to the running backs, because you don't have Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette on here, and I understand why. I mean, Leonard Fournette's finished 2 games this year. That's unbelievable to me. And but that running back class, Kamara, Hunt, Connor, late, but the first rounders like McCaffrey that we talked about, is it going to be the 83 quarterback class? I mean, is it going to be the best running back class we've ever seen?
I think that it could be. That is actually something I'm going to, I think I'm going to dive in and do some research on that because it really interests me. And it's just sort of been a topic that has been on my radar, but I haven't really gotten to. And it could be. I also just want to explore, like, there's stuff going on with how these guys are being used. And you know, I want to look at, you know, which teams have the higher running back target percentage. I think targeting those guys in the red zone is a real asset to your team. It really could be, and the league's changing, you know, and just how personnel is being used. So I think it could be. I don't know that for sure, but off the top of my head, I mean, how could it not be? And we could really be, like you're mentioning Dalvin Cook. He wasn't on there because obviously he's had the injuries, but, you know, I have to look at his, he's 23. So next year he could be in the top 10, you know, for all we know at this time next year, he could be in the top 10, right? I mean, if he comes back strong and next year is awesome, there's even greater potential for this group is kind of what you're saying.
For sure. I'm pretty impressed with the rookie class in the NFL, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But I noticed you only have two rookies on here in your top 25. Barkley's at 14, Derwin's at 15. And I think we both would have guessed that a year from now they'll be higher. I mean, their ceilings are enormous. Did you consider Ward? I mean, it's probably a little early for Baker Mayfield. Did you consider any other rookies strong?
I think Chubb is on there, right? Bradley Chubb is on there with 9 sacks. So I think when I was doing this and really encountering how much good young talent there is in the league, my thought was, and I can't take full credit, it was actually a personnel guy I was talking to, said, hey, you know, for some of these guys that are, you know, they've got next year. You know what I mean? There's some of these guys, let's see them do it another year. Let's see them do it for a full year. So that was some of the consideration. You know, I think Baker Mayfield's coming on. He could have been somebody you considered, but you know, you could throw 4 picks against Houston this week too, you know, so let's just see it. Let's see it a little bit more. And so I think it's a good thing for the league though, you know, that there's more guys. We're wondering why isn't this guy on it as opposed to why is this guy on it? You know what I mean? I think all the guys that are on it are pretty darn good.
I would have been a little prejudiced against rookies just because, hey, I've only seen 8 games of Baker or 11 games of these guys where I've seen 2 seasons, 3 seasons of some of these other guys. And if I'm going to say who's better, I got more to go off on the older dudes. But it is a pretty
Denzel good Ward. Look at Denzel Ward, young corner. I mean, heck, you know, you can start if you start looking too closely, you'll feel terrible about your list because there's 7 other guys that you should have put on there. You know,
you know, a guy like Van Der Esch, I think, could be on there next year.
Yes.
Two defensive.
Yeah, if he did it a month from now, he might be on it.
right. I mean, tomorrow night he might be on it. Or tonight he might be on it. It's 2 pass rushers that I really, really like that probably won't surprise anyone that Myles Garrett's on there. I mean, I honestly think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, I mean, a lot could go wrong between now and then, but he's that type of prospect that is generational. Yeah. And Danielle Hunter's even higher on the list, and he's having a better year. And frankly, he's one of the best defensive players in the league already.
Yeah, he is with, that was, you know, one of the personnel guys I was talking to last night was a huge fan of his and said he's come so far, but he still has a lot more that he can go. You know, he can get even better. So great young player. He's sort of the perfect guy for this list, a guy who's done it and is still going to do even better. No doubt. What a young player. I think you're right on Garrett too. Phenomenal. You know, and I'm anxious to actually see him this week against Houston because they don't, you know, they don't exactly have the greatest offensive line situation. So.
Very true. Last note on this list, and everyone's just go check it out and read the whole thing top to bottom. But we do have to mention the quarterbacks, and then I'm going to tell everyone about Action Heat. They're a new sponsor of ours. So Patrick Mahomes is one. I don't think anybody's giving you a hard time with that. I assume Wentz was too old because he's not on this list, right?
Yeah, I have to get everybody's. Yes, I believe he. Let me see.
Because as you're looking that up, I'll just mention, you know, Goff is 9, and Watson is 11.
Wentz is already 25.
Yeah, I knew he was a little older.
It's funny, you kind of scared me because I'm like, but I worked from a list where I eliminated anyone who was already 25. So that's why I didn't see him on the list. I was like, okay, did I make a mistake? But no. But you know, Matt, he's interesting too, because I think before he got hurt last year, he was sort of the guy that everyone thought's going to tier one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and do you feel that as strongly now? You know, I don't know. It's fallen off around him.
Slightly
going,
less, but I still, you know, I love him. But go ahead.
He was magical on third down in the Frank Reich leaves, and he's not. Now, they've had injuries, and I mean, they've totally gone to multiple tight ends and not have the same receivers, and there's other stuff going on. But to me, tier one is stuff around you falls off, and you're still the guy with 18 touchdowns and three interceptions or whatever, you know. And so, you know, we'll see. I think we're very optimistic on him. If he were 24, where would you, how high would you have him on this list? Would you have him above Deshaun Watson and above Goff? Would you have him in the top 10? I mean, I'm not 100% sure where he'd be.
This isn't what you asked me, but if I get one quarterback for the rest of their life, I still take him over with Mahomes. I'm still that high. I mean, I drove the train before he was great. I'm still very much on board. It'd be tough between those two choices. And that doesn't mean he's better than Mahomes right this second. So it kind of depends your criteria. You know,
what about Luck? Would you have Luck on there?
He's third.
If he were 25, you know.
Well, if he was 25,
he's 24. Would you? You know, would he be in the top five? I think he would.
If Luck were 24, I think he's clearly one. Like, because I think he's a better football player than Wentz or Mahomes at this moment. You know.
Yeah.
But injuries and things might make him third on my list, or if I'm building a team around him.
Hey, you know who's not on the list? I left off a couple guys just because it was easy to do because they're injured. Joey Bosa, I mean, he would be.
Is he under 25?
He's under 25, and I just said, hey, you know what? If you're missing a bunch of the year, I left him off. But I said it.
I got qualms with that.
Yeah,
I'm
just
sorry.
Said it.
I would have put him like two or three. I mean, we haven't seen him, so I guess that's a good way out. But is Jalen Ramsey under 25 too?
Well, Jalen Ramsey is, and I purposely left him off because he's having a down year. What do you think of that?
I don't like that either. I just assumed those two were older than 25. Now we can fight. I was going to go to break. They're still great players, though, Mike. Come on. You can't tell me Bosa's not a better player than James Conner.
Well, Bosa would be in the top five. Bosa would be in the top five. I mean, I just said, hey, he's played what? How many was he played? Two games this year?
Right.
So that was just an easy way. And I put it in the, you know, I put it in the lead. So I'm just trying to get more guys on there.
Okay. Well, then that I can let that slide then.
Yep.
Let me tell you about Action Heat. Mike, this is pretty cool stuff. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat through heating panels similar to heated car seats. They reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. So it keeps you warm if you're out there sled riding or building snowmen with your kids. Mike's in a chilly area of the country. I mean, so am I. There's snow on the ground here in Pittsburgh. It's only going to get colder. I'm definitely getting some of this for my daughter. She loves rolling around making snowmen and comes in freezing. So Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments, like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. It's available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. It lasts a long time, too, which is really great. It's pretty cool. I mean, I can't wait to give it a shot. I've never used anything that warms you up, you know, artificially, you know, with batteries or whatever. This is pretty neat. So we've got a special deal for our listeners. You guys got to check this out. You get 20% off your entire order. So get a big first order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's all one word, locked on, to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. The actionheat.com/lockedon bonus is 20% off, like I said, and use the coupon code locked on. So stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank you very much for sponsoring the podcast, a very, very cool product.
You know what's scary, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Bosa can be on it next year.
Wow. That is kind of scary. And
yeah,
he should be.
I should probably just, where would you slot him? Would you put him 2 or 3?
It's funny because the more I thought about it, you have Tyreek Hill 2, you have Mahomes 1. And you always give the benefit of the doubt to the quarterback, but I think Tyreek Hill's better at what he does than Mahomes is. And I think Bosa's better at what he does than Mahomes does. So I guess it depends. You know, we've both written a million lists in our lives. It's just, how do you want to criteriaize it? I mean, I'm not sure if that's a word, but is it how good they really are? Yeah. If it's a, if Quentin Nelson is a revolutionary guard, should he be 1 over Mahomes? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Quentin Nelson is somebody who could be on it too. So, you know, I mean, I think we'll wait and get a little bit more consistency, you know, over time, but just fun to do. Fun.
Oh, it's very fun. Yeah. You sent out a tweet about youth movements in general. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Well, the league's getting younger. You know, I think that was one of the things in looking at this list was I also did the flip. I just looked at guys who were, you know, into their 30s, and it's hard to find a lot of really good players that aren't quarterbacks or specialists. And so I stacked, you can look at, you know, on Twitter, I'm Sando ESPN. I put the average age at every position for starters from 2003 to now, just every year. And you can kind of see that every position, except I think tight end in the last few years, and now it's back to young this year, but they're all, every position's trended much younger than it was before the CBA took effect in 2011. And I don't know 100% if this, what role the CBA played. I mean, we could just be trending towards a younger game. The pro game is looking a little more like the college game. Maybe these guys, wide receivers, running backs, some of these guys maybe are having an easier transition into the NFL. I think it's been harder for offensive linemen, but even that is not something we're talking about as much as we were a couple of years ago, just how bad the line play is. So
I have a theory on that, by the way.
Yeah. What is it?
They're allowed to hold a lot more than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are. I mean, like, I do a show every Wednesday night with Craig Wolfley, who's a guard for the Steelers, and of course he's biased. He's like, they get away with so much more than I used to. But what I think is the defensive linemen that have come into the league the last 5, 6, 7 years are way more athletic and talented and better football players than the offensive linemen. And I think that talent discrepancy in favor of D-line over O-line is the greatest I can remember. You know, you mentioned O-linemen have a hard time transitioning. And I think, and this is sort of conspiracy theory, but instead of all the hits to the quarterback, you know, let's just let them hold. And we're going to see a lot of points. And I think that if you pay attention, there's a lot of holding going on that the refs just are turning a blind eye to.
Yeah, that could be. You know, I haven't studied that, but that's certainly part of why the, you know, in 1978, they changed the rules on what holding was, okay? And it was part of some changes that really led to where we're at today. I mean, scoring changed dramatically in the league, and part of it was allowing, you know, being more liberal in how you allowed the offensive linemen to use their hands. And so maybe now what you're saying is there hasn't been a rule change on holding. We've just sort of gotten to a point where you let it go. And that's a great observation. I mean, I haven't paid attention to that to see if that's changed in the last year or two. Now, match scoring is, you know, an offense is up this year quite a bit over last year. Now, last year was down. So really this year in 2016 are higher. But are you seeing a subtle shift in that just in the last year or two? Or do you think it's been a gradual thing over time?
I think it's been a little drastic lately. And I think it's a great way that we don't see lots of flags and stoppages and, quit babying the quarterbacks, but we're still helps with, I think it's an underrated aspect of why there's so many points too, because it just doesn't add up. I mean, like, I think the receivers in the league are much more talented than the coverage people in the league right now. And okay, so that should be for a lot of passing, and it is. But the pass rushers are way more talented. Again, I'm going to talk about the Steelers. I said this on SNR. The Steelers have Hargrave, Hayward, and Tuitt. And that's a pretty nice threesome. But every team in the league has at least one or two of those guys now. I mean, let alone the Fletcher Coxes and Von Millers. Who are the offensive linemen that are even close to that? Let alone the borderline starters that are playing at guard and tackle nowadays. Like, it's a massive difference in favor of the defense. And I think what the NFL has done, unwritten or behind the scenes, is just letting them grab more in protection so we get these fantasy points in these fun games.
Well, you're bringing that up. I'm going to just look into our system here and see if time before pass has been changing at all. And it may just sort of be a proxy for this.
I wonder how much that's scheme-driven, though, too. You know, like Luck got the ball out of his hands so quick to start the season.
Nah, but get this, get this. So I just dialed it up since 2012. So any sort of – so Pro Football Focus basically charts the number of seconds before the pass is made, okay? And they take an average. Now, that can be affected by are you taking a bunch of sacks, you know, are you throwing it away? Do you have a mobile guy who's running around and, you know, buys extra time? So all those things come into play.
Like, but Russell Wilson was always at the top of the list.
But get this, between 2000 – let me stack the seasons. Between 2000, let's just say 14, 15, 16, and 17 – it's the average time before the pass is like between 2.5 and 2.54 seconds. So really close. 2.5 seconds is the average, okay?
Okay.
This year it's 2.73. Wow. Now, most people would say, well, 2/10 of a second.
Oh,
that's
a ton.
Nothing. But when you take it on an average of thousands of passes, you know, that's a lot.
1,000. If that happens every five times, that's an eternity.
Totally. I mean, that's like, you know, McDonald's might have a 1 cent profit margin, but when you have billions served, it's a lot of money, right?
Right. It's like, you know, Office Space, when they take 0.1 of a penny off.
Yes. What a great movie. Yeah. So, you know, that is interesting to me. Now, let's see, the time spent in the pocket is down. So, I don't know, maybe guys are running around more, too. That could be part of this. But just interesting observation. I don't know if we can document it, but something for people to keep on their radar and minds as you watch the games.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's watch this.
Watch tonight.
You know, like, yeah, exactly. Let's watch it tonight. And the game I'm really thinking of is, I've mentioned a couple times, is Cleveland-Houston with those great pass rushers on Houston. Is Baker Mayfield going to have time? You know, and if he does, maybe there's a lot of holding going on.
And vice versa. You know, is Garrett going to get home against bad tackles?
Yeah, you would sure think he would.
Right. Let's take a quick break, and I want to break down tonight's game. We're going a little longer than usual, but that just tends to happen here.
Yep.
All right, we are back, and I do want people to do that. I mean, to me, in the eyeball test, you can always go, well, Matt, they could call holding on every play that's ever happened in NFL football. I'm like, yeah, I understand, but they're getting away with some egregious stuff. Just pay more attention to pass protection and the grabbing and all that. I just think it is a trend, and it's one of the reasons why the numbers are insane. And one of the reasons the numbers are insane are guys like Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara and Sean Payton. They go to Dallas tonight. They're favored by 7.5 on the road. I really like what Dallas is doing. You know, I broke down the NFC playoff race, and I think they're the best team in their division. They got somewhat of a tough road starting tonight, but I like the way they're playing. But the way the Saints are playing is insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good test for the Saints, though, because I even though they've been winning on the road, I think it's, you know, they're that much better at home. I mean, that really makes them special. And you get the short week on road against a team playing well. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's not a bad spot to, you know, would I want to have a lot of money riding on Dallas? No, but it's not a bad spot to just take your chances, I think, because are the Saints going to go 15-1? You know, even the top teams end up being 13-3, 14-2. You're going to lose a game here or there. Is this one that just goes the other way, where it's the Cowboys' night, you know, and then for 2 days people wonder if the Saints been exposed? But no, you're just, you know what I mean? You're on the road against a team that's playing well, and you don't win every game.
Yeah.
You know, certainly the fundamentals of the Saints passing game against the Cowboys' secondary, I mean, there should be a lot of points for the Saints. But I think, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, there's a couple little news and notes. Rich Rebar puts out a great column. And there's a lot of stats, and he matches up the games. And that probably won't shock anyone that New Orleans is first in points scored per game. But but only two defenses are allowing fewer points than Dallas. I mean, that I didn't realize Dallas. I knew Dallas's defense was good. I didn't realize it was third in points allowed. And I also didn't realize that in terms of percentage of runs and passes called, you would think Dallas would be at the top of the league in running percentage. They're sixth, but the Saints are second. I mean, almost 48% of their calls are runs. I would think that might be their formula tonight. And, oh, by the way, they've won five straight games in a row by double digits or more. I mean, they're rolling.
Yeah. And obviously, the Cowboys need to stay true to themselves and, you know, their identity running the ball. That's great. But I think in the league today, you've obviously got to score points against a team like the Saints. And the way you do that is you want your quarterback throwing on early downs. We don't want to see, if we're Dallas, if we're Cowboy fans, we don't want to see Dak or 25 other quarterbacks in the league having to throw on third down, right? I mean, it's hard. I mean, everyone knows you're going to throw, and the coverages, they mess with you, and it's just a harder thing. I think if they can have some great balance and not just hand it off for 3 yards, hoping you're going to hit the home run every first down, and, you know, make some plays. Get Amari Cooper going on plays where the Saints have to play you honest. Right? I mean, they've got to defend Zeke Elliott. So then you may be able to get some points on the board. The last thing they can have is be 14-3 like Atlanta, which Atlanta had chances to have points on the board early in the game, didn't get them. Now you're just screwed, you know.
Right. The Saints, best of luck. Yeah.
Start play the Saints from when you're behind, and they can do different things defensively. It's just you're trying to keep pace. But I think that the Cowboys, the way they've played lately, at least have the potential to get some points on the board early in the game and keep it competitive.
I do too. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Dallas wins this game. Kind of like you said, you know, it's hard to win a million games in a row, short week on the road, and Dallas is playing well. But I also look at it and think, boy, the Saints' run defense might be the best in the league. I do see a lot of third and long situations for Dak. I don't love that. Since they've traded for Eli Apple, they've really done a nice job at the cornerback position and slowing down receivers. As great as Amari's looked, I think he's going to have a tough go of it against Lattimore and Apple. And that defense or offensive line isn't the same. You know, no Frederick, Tyron Smith's not the same. The guards are a little banged up. I bet Dak is under pressure. And if all those things are true, or two of those things are true, you're just not going to keep up with Breeze. So I think the Saints win it going away. Although I was ready to take the Cowboys in like a 21-20 game, I just think that Dallas's offense is going to struggle tonight.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm not going to argue vehemently. I think we can see the avenue whereby the Cowboys can win the game, but we don't think that's the most likely avenue the game goes down.
Yeah. Well said. Mike, this was a blast. Everyone needs to go read your 25 and under column. It was a fun discussion. We could have talked about that forever too. Let's do it next week.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely, man. Take care.